see. Come to midweek service. And I don't know if you guys noticed, Kevin is beaming from ear to ear. Brother, we're very happy for you. And Anita, welcome to Brooklyn. Also tonight, our sister Daisy Aguirre will be translating for us. So thank you, Daisy. Roberto had to work, and so please be praying for him. He's out there shoveling snow. But Daisy, thank you for translating. And also, I understand that today is Marshall's birthday. That's Daisy's mother. And for all of you guys celebrating birthdays this month of December, happy birthday to all of you. We're very happy for you, and may God continue to bless you all. Let's see. In January, sorry, in December, this Saturday, the brothers, we're going to be getting together from 9 a.m., excuse me, from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., having our prayer time. Please join us. We'll send out the link again. It's going to be via Zoom from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. We're going to be crying out to God, all the brothers, on different things. So that's going to be an exciting time. And then a week from today, next Wednesday night, December 23rd, we're going to have a Zoom Christmas party. And so we're asking us to get dressed up in green and red and white. We'll have a great time. I know Michael Facey and some of our singers and worship leaders have been working hard at this. And so please, that will be next Wednesday. It's going to be a great time. And then please remember that on December 30th, there will be no midweek. And so next week will be the last midweek for the year. And that's why tonight I want to talk to us about biblical fasting. I announced a few weeks ago that come January, we are going to be starting a 40-day fasting and prayer chain as a ministry. And so tonight, I wanted to talk to us about what biblical fasting is. I also want to thank Mike Facey for setting up the calendar. He's going to be talking to us about that at the very end in terms of what's going to be happening as we sign up for the prayer and fasting chain. And we're asking us to just speak one day to fast from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. that evening. And so when the calendar is set up, and I probably believe it's going to go live tonight. You can go sign up on whatever day you want. And please don't feel guilty if you cannot fast, but it's okay. We ask you that at least you pray. And if you've never fasted before, again, I want to encourage you to fast by starting by just skipping one meal. Okay? But remember, it is God that's looking at our hearts. And so don't feel bad that, oh, okay, I can't do this for the whole day, but it's the heart that counts. And so tonight, we're asking ourselves, what is biblical fasting? What is biblical fasting? It's abstaining from food and liquids for spiritual reasons. That's basically the definition. Okay? Fasting is a spiritual discipline found in the Bible. And Daisy actually suggested this a few weeks ago that, you know what, could you talk to us about this before we do it in January? And again, thank you for suggesting that. And so that's why we're talking about this topic tonight. For it to be a fast, brothers and sisters, there must be a biblical reason for you abstaining from food. Okay? Now, today there is a craze that I'm sure you've heard of called intermittent fasting. Okay? Intermittent fasting is very different from biblical fasting because intermittent fasting is about fasting to lose weight. The fasting that you and I are talking about tonight has got nothing to do with losing weight. We're abstaining from food for biblical reasons. Now, it's good to practice intermittent fasting, but it is not the same thing as biblical fasting, okay? Fasting in the Greek, the word is nestē. Nestē. Ne is a negative prefix, and eschūō is to eat. And so nesteia is not to eat. That's what it means in the Greek. And that's what it means in the scriptures. Let's talk about abstaining from something versus biblical fasting. Brothers and sisters, in the Bible, when fasting is mentioned, they went without food and water. That's the only thing you will find in scripture. When the idea is brought up and the word is used, it's always used with food and water. And I bring that up today because sometimes for us, you know, I've heard Christians say, oh yeah, I'm fasting from video games, or I'm fasting from not watching television, or I'm fasting from not watching sports, okay? That's not fasting. You're abstaining from those things. When you use the word fast, it has to be with not eating food or drinking water or drinking liquids, okay? So it's okay to abstain from those things to help your relationship with God, but you cannot call it fasting. You are abstaining from those things, okay? Now, again, like I said, you may be abstaining from those activities to focus on your relationship with God, and that is great, but you simply cannot call it fasting. Context is everything. You know, there's a basic rule of biblical interpretation. It simply means it cannot mean now what it did not mean when these verses were written. It cannot mean now when those things were written back during biblical times. And that's why you cannot call abstaining from video games or TV fasting, because back then, obviously, they didn't have such, okay? And I remember several decades ago, I decided to abstain from no email, no telephone. You know, I switched off my cell phone, and no television, no sports, nothing. Just to concentrate some more on reading my Bible and praying. You say, Richard, how did you set up your appointments? I did it face-to-face at church, because that was what they did back in the first century. They didn't have all these modern conveniences. So every Sunday and every midweek, you know, I'd get open my diary and I put all my appointments in there, because I wanted to take 30 days just to concentrate on my relationship with God, and I blocked out all the noise. Now, I was abstaining from those things, but I did not call it fasting. And it was an incredible time. Would you believe that I broke that fast, and the following day, my wife and I were in a horrible car accident. We got T-boned by a car. And praise God, I walked away without any scratch. The car was totaled. And I remember asking myself, what if I hadn't been praying and fasting for the last 30 days? Probably the accident would have been worse. But I thank God that during that time, you know, I abstained from all those things, and I was able to really draw closer to my God like I'd never done before in a long time. And so tonight, I want us to continue talking about what biblical fasting is. I also recall several years ago when same-sex couples were given the opportunity to marry. And I wrote President Obama a letter. I said, sir, I said, with all due respect, you need to leave this issues like this to us. I said, I agree, we can't discriminate against same-sex couples, and but we cannot call it marriage. Because when I read my Bible, marriage is between a man and a woman. And so I wrote him, and they replied me. They gave me a standard, I guess, letter that they respond to people when people bring up issues, and they sent it back to me. But, you know, we cannot change the definition of what marriage is, because the Bible has already defined that. But I remember very vividly writing to him at that time when they tried to change the definition of what marriage is. In Leviticus chapter 16, in verse 29, it says, this is to be a lasting ordinance. On the 10th day of the seventh month, you must deny yourselves. That is, you must fast and not do any work, because on this day, atonement will be made for you. to cleanse you. Then before the Lord, you'll be clean from all your sins. If you're reading the NIV, it says deny yourselves, but there's a little letter there. If you look at the bottom of your page, it says must fast. That was what God was talking to the Israelites about in Leviticus 16. The Jews were called to fast on the Day of Atonement, according to this passage. Today, the Jews call it Yom Kippur, okay? And in this passage, we get insight about how the Hebrews viewed fasting. Again, fasting is denying yourself food. You and I know that food is what sustains us. It's what gives us energy to be able to move around and carry on our daily activities. And so fasting, brothers and sisters, is an act of self-denial where when we get hungry, we use the opportunity to cry out to God and we ask him to sustain us, okay? Biblical fasting is not eating, again, with spiritual reasons in mind. Because fasting always occurs together with prayer in the Bible, always. That's another thing you're going to find out as we go through these passages. Every time we see fasting, it's always associated in the Bible with prayer. Okay? Now, we can pray without fasting, but we cannot fast, biblically speaking, without praying. They go together. Again, biblical fasting is abstaining from food for a spiritual reason. Many years ago, I was asked to submit an article about fasting and contribute an article about fasting to a book that was about to be published back then by DPI. And I studied it out and I wrote my little schmill. And I want to read to you what I wrote. I don't have the book anymore, but I texted a brother and he sent me what I wrote this afternoon. And I had it here. Where is it? Okay. Just bear with me just a second. And I want to read you how I started what I wrote over 20 years ago on this subject. I quoted Matthew 6 from verse 16 to 18. And then I wrote, she glanced at her wristwatch for the third time that morning. It was only 10 o'clock. She was very hungry and felt as though she hadn't eaten in 2 days. Sarah was fasting for the first time in her life, and the thought of going without food for the next 14 hours seemed impossible. She called her disciple, Aunt Brigitte, on the phone saying, I'm very hungry, so I'm breaking my fast. Aunt Brigitte replied, that's precisely the point of fasting. You will be hungry. Concentrate and focus on God's power. That was my wife, Sarah, as a young disciple a few years ago. And I wrote this over 2 decades ago, so that's a very long time. She didn't know I was going to be doing this. I know she's giggling in the living room right now. But you see, fasting is going without food, and you are going to be hungry, all right? When you get hungry,
right,
is your cue to spend that time in prayer, and God will sustain you. Amen? In Matthew chapter 6, part of Sermon on the Mount, Jesus in verse 2 says, when you give to the needy, do not do it in front of people so that they can see what you're doing. And then later on in verse 5, it says, when you pray, go into your room and do it in secret. And then in verse 16, it says, when you fast, don't put a gloomy face on so that everybody knows that you're fasting. Notice, in these passages, it doesn't say if you give to the needy. It doesn't say if you pray. It doesn't say if you fast. It says when you give to the needy. It says when you pray. It says when you fast. These are things that God assumes that we're doing as Christians, as his children.
Okay.
So let's make sure that we're giving to the needy. Let's make sure that we're praying. Let's make sure that we're fasting.
Okay?
Again, I remember many, many years ago, I was attending some conference. I was a young man in the ministry. I think we were newly married at the time. And this brother is preaching, and he's talking about how, you know, he hadn't fasted. He hadn't done a 40-day fast in a few years prior to him speaking. And that was something he needed to get back to. And I remember sitting there getting so convicted, saying, you know what, I've never even done that. I've not even done one, let alone, you know, tried a few times. And so I remember, you know, later on, a few years later, I decided I was going to do a 40-day fast. Obviously, I saw a lot of advice about it. And I don't like vegetables, okay, ordinarily. You know, I'm not big on salads and stuff like that. I can honestly tell you, you know, I've eaten more salads and veggies, you know, since recovering from cancer than I've done my entire, you know, all the years I've been on this earth. But anyway, so I eat it now, you know, because I know it's good for me. So I decided at that time I was going to do a 40-day vegetable-only fast. Brothers and sisters, it was the hardest thing I'd ever done. You know, it was just vegetables and protein. That was it. You know, a few pieces of chicken here and there, that was it. And would you believe that it was during that time that all of a sudden, you know, a brother had this bright idea in our Bible talk, hey, let's have a huge pizza party. And for Bible talk, you know, people came in with different kinds of pizzas. And I'm standing there looking at it like, man, this can't be right. But obviously, I didn't touch the stuff. But it's always amazing how when you start fasting or the day you decide to go on a fast, there's going to be some good food lying around that you obviously cannot partake of. But I still remember it very vividly. In Matthew chapter 4, beginning verse 1, it says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, and you know the rest of the story. Jesus started his ministry, brothers and sisters, by spending 40 days and nights in prayer and fasting. He understood the battle in front of him was a spiritual one. In February, like I announced a few weeks ago, we're going to start doing a series on Sundays talking about the full armor of God. And I'm looking forward to it. Ephesians 6 tells us that our battle is not against flesh and blood. If you really think about it, you and I, as Christians, we are at a disadvantage. We are fighting powerful, invisible spiritual forces. Get this. The enemy can see you. The enemy can see me. But we can't see them. But guess what? God does. And God can see them. God knows exactly where they are. That's why when you and I are praying, when you and I are fasting, they're very, very effective and they're very, very powerful in bringing down the strongholds that Satan tries to put around us. Okay? It's like in the movie sometimes, you know, you see these guys, you know, they're trying to fight at night and they put on their night goggles. And all of a sudden, they can see people. They can see the enemy, but the enemy can't see them if they don't have those night goggles on, okay? And it's something like that, where you and I, spiritually, we can't see the enemy, but the enemy can see us. And I don't believe that Jesus would have succeeded in his ministry if he hadn't started his ministry by prayer and fasting. And I want you to also notice it was this Holy Spirit that led him to the desert to be tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. Again, I'm going to say it again tonight. Please do not attempt a 40-day or 40-night fast. It can actually kill you, okay? And so I want to encourage you to start with missing one meal and then go on to two meals and then go on to three meals. And then eat for a few days, and if you want to fast again, then try 2 days. But you got to walk yourself up to trying a 40-day fast. That was what I did many, many years ago. You know, I started with 1 day, and then I went to 3 days, and then I went to 5 days, and then at some point I went to 1 week, and then I tried 2 weeks, and said, okay, I think I can do this. And then I decided to go on that 40-day vegetable-only fast, and it was challenging. It was, at that time, it was the most challenging thing I'd ever done in my life. I lost a lot of weight, but it was awesome, okay? And so we're talking about praying and fasting, okay? I saw this the other day, and I think you guys will like it. It says, I pray, okay? We got iPhones, we got iPads, we got everything. Hey, I pray. We all need to be praying, amen? So let's talk about types of fasting. Types of fasting. There's a normal fast, which is basically fasting from sunset to sunset. That was how the Jews fasted in the Bible. Okay, they fasted from sunset to sunset. And then there's something called a partial fast. That's what Daniel and his pals did in Daniel chapter 1, verse 5. And also, he also did another version of that in Daniel chapter 10, verse 3. He did a limited fast for 3 weeks, okay? Where he was restricting food and liquid intake. That's what a partial fast is, okay? A radical fast is what Jesus did. A radical fast is what Esther did back in Esther chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, when they went for 3 days without food and water, okay? Ezra also did something similar, a radical fast, in Ezra chapter 10, verses 6 to 9. I hope you guys are writing this stuff down, okay? That's Ezra 10, 6 to 9, and Esther 4, 15 to 16. Daniel did a partial fast in Daniel 1, 5, and in Daniel 10, 3. And so there are different types of fasting, okay? What you and I are about to do, starting in January, is a normal fast. Although I'm asking us to fast from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. instead of from sunset to sunset. Believe it or not, the sunset to sunset fast is actually a very easy one. Because, you know, after sunset, okay, you eat and then you go to sleep. And then so basically you're fasting during your waking hours and then you break your fast the next evening. And so what we're asking us to do is from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. It's not that hard, okay? But again, if you've never done this before, I want to encourage you to start by skipping a meal, all right? Why fast, you may ask? Why fast? In Jeremiah 29, beginning in verse 13, God says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord." I know a lot of us, we love Jeremiah 29 in verse 11, where it says, "I know the plans I have for you." This is actually the context. But again, remember what God is saying here. He was telling them that, you know what, because of your sins, you're going to be in captivity. I'm going to send you out. Your enemies are going to come in and conquer you. But after you're there, okay, after 70 years have passed, I'm going to bring you back. That is the context of that passage where it says, you know what, I know I have the plans I have for you and all that. But it's telling them here that, you know what, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Brothers and sisters, when we deny ourselves food and water by fasting, we are telling God we are serious about seeking him and drawing close to him. We are saying to God, we mean business. Fasting is an expression that you are totally all in, quote unquote. Okay? That is the context of Jeremiah 29. Write this passage down. Joel chapter 2, verse 12. Joel 2, verse 12. It says, "Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting." And then it goes on. Okay? When you and I are fasting, when we deny ourselves, we're telling God, "I'm all in. I'm really serious about this." You say, "How do I know when to pray and fast?" Great question. I believe with all my heart that that's between you and the Lord, okay? I know for myself, when I'm desperate about something, I accompany my petition and my prayers with fasting. When I'm troubled in my spirit about something and looking for clear guidance from the Holy Spirit, guess what? I fast. And my wife, Sarah, fasts one day a week. She's been doing it for a long time. I mean, before we got to Brooklyn over the summer, we were praying and fasting for God to really make it clear to us where he wanted us to go. But obviously, you know, he led us here and we're very happy to be here. We love Brooklyn. You know, this is our snow first. This is our first blizzard. And I'm looking forward to shoveling snow tomorrow morning. It's going to be awesome, you know. He said, "You're not going to be shoveling snow." "Yes, I am. I'm on the ground floor, and I'm gonna the landlord put the salt outside already. So I'm gonna get out there and do it. And so I'm looking forward to it. But we're excited to be here. I believe God made it very clear where He wanted us. But those are the kind of things that I know I do when I'm looking for direction from God. Okay. Now the length of the fast is entirely up to you. Okay. Again, I want to appeal to us that you start small. All right. You start small. A meal there, then graduate to two meals, then one day, then 2 days. But again, I'm not talking consecutively, where you fast for a day and then take a break. And then next time you fast, try going for 2 days. Because I promise you, your body is going to react. Okay? I don't get headaches anymore, but I know for myself, when I fast for like 4 or 5 days, I start getting very intense headaches. Okay? So you got to really watch yourself. You got to listen to your body. Okay? But you get the idea. Just graduate, you know, and, you know, to more days of fasting. Don't just go, hey, let me go do a 7-day fast. You know, that's not wise. Amen? When you're hungry, pray. Ask God to sustain you, and He will. He will. It's okay. You want to drink juices or water to give you a little bit of energy? That's fine. Okay? It's really hard to go cold turkey. Again, if you want to go cold turkey from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., no food, no water, that's entirely up to you. But it's okay if you want to drink water, if you want to drink juice. Just abstain from the food, okay? Because I believe that fasting prepares us for the works God has ordained for us to do, okay? I love this passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Brothers and sisters, the year 2020 has been a very challenging one, okay? An extremely challenging one. I am so ready to turn the page to 2021. And I want us to really begin 2021 taking our requests and our petitions to God together as a ministry. And I really believe that God is going to do incredible things through our lives and in our ministry. Now, if you look in the Bible, people fasted for different kind of reasons. Some fasted to begin God's work and to do God's will. And I've given the example of Jesus right there in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 17. Some people fasted in the scriptures to seek God's wisdom. Again, I'm giving you a reference there, Acts 14, verse 23, excuse me. Sometimes some people fasted to show grief. Nehemiah 1, verses 1 to 4. Sometimes in the Bible, people fasted to seek God's protection. That's Ezra chapter 8. Forgive me, I left the semicolon out. Verses 21 to 23. Ezra 8, 21 to 23. And then also, sometimes in the Bible, people fasted while repenting, okay? For God to give them a new heart, for God to turn around their heart, for God to turn their heart of stone into a heart of flesh. And that's what the people of Nineveh did after Jonah went over there and preached. In Jonah chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says they repented. And as a result, God relented from really, you know, disciplining them. Another reason why people fasted in the Bible was to gain victory. Again, I've given a couple of references there. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3, and Judges 20, verse 26. And then also we find Anna in the New Testament in Luke chapter 2. She was fasting day and night while worshiping God. And she was one of those few people that was able to see baby Jesus. I mean, that's something incredible. And when we get to the other side, I'm looking forward to talking to her and just finding out how that experience was. Because not a lot of people, you know, saw baby Jesus, but she was one of the privileged few. And so, brothers and sisters, what you and I are about to encounter and start doing in January, again, is to draw us nearer to our God, individually and collectively as a church. And I'll tell you guys this. Every new year, December 31st, always finds me on my knees. I always pray into the new year. I never forget, again, coming to this country for the first time back in 1980 and seeing people quote unquote party into the new year. I just never understood it. Because I remember as far back as when I was 10 years old, we would go to service every New Year's Eve. That is the way we do it in my culture. If you show up in Nigeria, the Christian part, December 31st, everybody's at church. Because what we do is we get on our knees and we thank God for everything he's done for us and has brought us through that year. And then we put our requests before him for the new year. And so I've been doing that since I was 10 years old. And so I'm looking forward to December 31st. And just again, just being on my knees. I usually start around 11 p.m. and I'll pray into the new year and then come out and, you know, wish my family happy new year and give, and we'll give each other hugs. This year, it's just going to be my wife and I, but I'm looking forward to it. But it's very important that we use this time of the year, even as the year is winding down, even as we begin 2021, to really decide that we're going to draw close to God like we've never done before in our walk with him. You know, if God feels far away from you, guess who moved? It wasn't him. It's you and I. And so what we need to do, like it says in James 4:8, is to draw near to God, and he promises he will draw near to us. What we're also going to be doing when we start that prayer and fasting chain is I want us to pray through the names of God and the attributes of God for the first 30 days in January. And so, you know, Mike is going to be sending us the attributes and the name of God that we're going to be praying about the day after. He will send it to us the night before, okay? So that when you get up early, you know, just go for it. For instance, on day one, January 1st, we're going to be praying that God is Jehovah. God is Yahweh. The I am who I am. The I am that I am. And then on day two, January 2nd, we're going to pray. When you're praying, I want you to be cognizant of the fact that, you know what? God is Jehovah Mekadesh. That is the God who sanctifies us. The God who cleanses us. January 3rd, I just put the first 7 days up on the screen for you. But again, we'll send it to us all. Mike will send it to us the night before. On January 3rd, we're going to pray about the fact that God is infinite. Day 4, we're going to pray about the fact that God is omnipotent. He's all powerful, okay? And so on. And so he said, what are we going to be praying about? I'm glad you asked. For some reason, again, my computer is acting up. That's why I keep doing this. Let's see. Let me go back to this. All right? Oh, before I get to that, here are some of the times that I've fasted about in the past. I'll never forget it. Before I left Gainesville, Florida, trying to decide where to go, I decided I was going to go on a fast. I didn't even put a time limit on it. I said, God, I'm not going to get off this fast until you have answered me. And believe it or not, by day 6, I was just drinking liquids. By day 6, everything was pointing in the direction of Boston. And I'm talking to our campus minister at the time, and he asked me a question. He says, Richard, why are you afraid of going to Boston? And I said to him, I said, brother, something inside of me tells me if I go to Boston, they're going to send me to Africa. And he says, well, there's only one way to find out. And I thought, you know what? You're right. And I broke my fast. And I spent exactly 10 months in Boston before moving here to New York to join the mission team to go to Africa. And even within Africa, all the different moves we made while in Africa and eventually getting back to Atlanta and to Texas and now and here, it's always been accompanied by fasting. I've always allowed God to determine where he wants me to be, okay? When I was dating Sarah and trying to find out who my life partner was, I fasted. And she also fasted. Because, you know, the person you get married to is going to determine whether you see the face of heaven, you see the face of God or not in heaven. And I wasn't going to leave that to chance. And so I decided to take some days off and I fasted about it. And, you know, my wife and I, we've married now for almost 29 years. And so I'm very thankful. when we're going through some intense persecution back in Nairobi, Kenya, when several guys came after me and they put me in the newspapers and they put me on the news, you know, calling me a cult leader, you better believe I was fasting. And God saw me through that whole time. I've always continually fasted for church growth and church maturity, for us to be mature spiritually and to keep growing in our walk with God. I fasted for our daughters, and I still do. And I'm also fasting for their future husbands. Again, I'm not leaving these things to chance. You know, I've fasted for God to change my heart about different issues, and he's always done that. And I've always fasted also for finances to help the poor. And so these are just some of the things that I fasted about in the past, and I still fast about even today. And so let's talk about Brooklyn 40-day prayer and fasting. I'm almost done. Okay? We're going to start in January 1st, all right? And again, if you cannot fast, please do not feel guilty, okay? We're asking us to pray and fast from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. It's okay. You want to drink water, you want to drink juices, that's okay. But if you also want to do just a pure, no drink, no water, that's entirely up to you. That's fine. Okay. We're going to, Mike is going to give us some guidelines about how to sign up. We're asking you to please sign up just one day. Husband separate, Mike's wife separate. In other words, it's okay if both of you want to fast on the same day, but I want you to fast separately, you know, so the two of you does not count as one, so that we can have the entire calendar filled out. Let's see. Again, like I said, you can do more if you desire. If you want to fast this Monday and then the following Monday, that's entirely up to you. I believe God sees your heart and God hears those prayers. Again, if you cannot fast, please don't feel guilty, okay? Here are the things I want us to be praying and fasting about. Number one, for our kids to fall deeply in love with God and not to love the world. Notice, I did not say for our kids to get baptized. There's a big difference. But I want us to be praying and fasting for our kids to fall deeply in love with God and not to love the world. I also want us to be praying and fasting about spiritual growth and maturity, where God gives us a tremendous retention rate, okay? I'm personally praying for 80%. And we're not just talking about next year, I'm talking about for the next 12 years, for instance. That's what I'm praying for God to give us at least an 80% retention rate in the ministry here in Brooklyn, so that we're not just baptizing people and then they're walking out the back door, okay? Number three, for God to raise up leaders. And again, we're not just talking about 2021. We're talking about 2021 and beyond. For God to raise up elders, for God to raise up evangelists, both full-time people and lay evangelists, okay? Some of you guys that are listening to me, yes, you have a great job. You need to keep that job. But guess what? I'm going to train you to be an evangelist. And when you start doing the work, I will give you the title. I've already spoken to Sam Powell about it. And so I'm really looking forward to this, because I believe that, you know, in the Bible, when I read my scriptures, especially in the New Testament, you know, most of the people were not full-time. They had jobs, and they were also church leaders. And we need that in the church here in Brooklyn. Let's be praying that we raise up more women's ministry leaders. That's what that represents. Bible talk leaders, youth and family leaders, singles leaders, marriage leaders, deacons. I mean, you name it. Let's just be praying for God to raise up a lot of leadership. Remember that a lot of you guys that are listening to me now, that are watching me right now, okay, you guys are going to form the foundation of what God is going to build in the next several years. That 12 years from now, when we look back, when this church is thousands of people, you guys are going to be the leaders, okay? But pray that God gives us workers. And I believe a lot of you guys are right here already. Pray that God will raise you up, and he will, okay? I want us to be praying that we'll have Christians in every neighborhood in Brooklyn. Every neighborhood in Brooklyn. I want us to be praying for God to change, for change hearts for God's kingdom and for God's mission. This is our mission field. This is the fourth largest city in America, right here. And I believe, I also want us to be praying that God will do tons of miracles in Brooklyn in the year 2021 and beyond. So these are the things that I want us to be praying about as we begin the corporate prayer and fasting January 1st of 2021. In Mark chapter 9, verse 14, again, I'll encourage you to go read the entire story. Jesus had come down from the mountain of Transfiguration, and there was this man who had brought his young boy to the apostles who was possessed by a demon, and they couldn't drive out the demon. And it says here in verse 14, it says after, not verse 14, it's somewhere in the middle there, okay? But I'm giving you the reference for the whole thing. It says, after Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, this kind can come out only by prayer and fasting. That suggests to me, brothers and sisters, that there are certain things God will not do in our lives except we're praying and fasting. That when you and I are praying and fasting about something, we're showing God how desperate really we are about whatever that issue is. And it gives us more power to be able to demolish those spiritual strongholds. And in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or can even imagine. And that is what I'm looking forward to. The year 2021, we're going to have 365 new opportunities. Every day that God allows us to live on this earth is going to be a new day of opportunities. So brothers and sisters, I hope this has been encouraging. I encourage you to go back and, you know, look at some of these verses and cross-reference them. And I'm really looking forward to the new year and doing battle with the devil and all of us doing it together. It's going to be awesome. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And so at this time, I want to turn it back to Mike Facey.